What a wonderful day it is today. It's a special day, as you guys can see, because we have various people who are going to be getting baptized today. And it's such a special thing. And, you know, the heavenlies is just partying to see more and more of God's children coming towards him. And it's so exciting. You guys probably got to see me wearing glasses. I never wear glasses. But my eyes have gotten so bad in the last year. I went from wearing other people's glasses to actually just looking once in a while, putting glasses on. Now I feel like without them, I wouldn't be able to read any of my notes. So, or the word here, right? So, yes, I'm wearing glasses. It's kind of weird though because they're reading glasses. So when I look at you, it's kind of a little blurry, right? But it's not too bad. It's not too bad. Today God has put on my heart a message for you guys. And that message is really, this song that we just heard was really rooted in that message, in the message that you're going to hear today, Made for More. And that's why I titled this this sermon, Made for More. And I think about how we as Christians can get so caught up in all the things of the past, and we forget to step in the place that God has put us in. So today we're going to read from Ephesians 2. And again, part of this is just helping us understand biblically what God is putting in our hearts and what we should be following. And also, part of this is to reflect and ask yourself, where are you today? Are you following what God's will is for you? So, you know, just to give you a little bit about this scripture, this is Ephesians 2, as Pastor had read. And this book is actually a letter. Many of you guys know it's a letter from Paul to Ephesus. And this is this letter was written somewhere between 60 and 62 A.D. And it was ultimately written for not only the church of Ephesus, but also the surrounding churches. And Paul was writing this letter, which is different than many of the other letters that Paul wrote. Many of the letters Paul wrote was really about rebuking and really calling out like issues that the church was having and things like that. This was different because Paul is now talking to a melting pot of people who are, many of them are Gentiles. Most of them are actually Gentiles. And they're from all different areas and all different places. And yet they are in a city where there's a lot of idolatry, a lot of witchcraft, and a lot of sin is just in that city. And you got these church people, these people who are Christians, that has to operate within the people around them in the world that they live in. And so what's interesting is that this book was not about saying, hey, you know what, you're doing something wrong. I like to say that this letter is a reminder. Paul is reminding Christians of what they are meant to be. And so I just wanted to give you a little bit of that context as we go into it and really understand, you know, that this is different from, you know, Galatians or Corinthians and the letters that we've seen there. And Paul is actually writing this letter from prison. And he is just seeing that God is wanting people to understand what he has for them. And so as we get ready to go into the scripture, I ask you to just raise your hand if you can recall a time where you felt like you lost your identity and you did something you regretted. I might be the only one in here like that, huh? Like, we all have lost our identity at some point or another, and we've done things that we have regretted, right? Whether it's because we were in some organization and we was like, man, that sent us off, or a group of friends, or whatever it may be, we have all been in that kind of situation. And consider how subtle it was to move from what your identity is to where you got to make that bad decision or go down a path that you didn't want to go down. It wasn't like you knew it automatically. It just naturally happened over time. And so Paul here, what he's doing is he's wanting to remind his Christian brothers and sisters what God has in store for them and really making sure that they understand, like, hey, you're made for more. You know, I like to look at this chapter, and I think it's one of the clearest chapters in the gospel that is centered around what the gospel is all about. It says, we were dead and God made us alive. You're going to see that in this. We were condemned and God raised us up. And ultimately, we were without purpose and now we are his masterpiece. You will see that in this scripture. And this, man, this is only 10 verses. So I encourage you, even after you leave here, go back to those 10 verses and you will be so empowered to see how those 10 verses tells you the gospel story and what God is saying there. So as we get ready to dive in, Paul starts with some bad news. The first three verses aren't really that pretty. So let me kick it off. Someone gave me a clicker, and I am not using the clicker, so they may have a problem with me. Oh, it's not working. All right, I'm not going to use click. You can click. Thank you. Appreciate that. I told him I was going to be bad with this clicking thing. But. All right, so let's start at verse 1. It says, and we were dead in the trespasses and sins. Let's just stop there. That's verse 1. We were dead, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. What does dead means? When you hear dead, that doesn't mean I was weak, I'm struggling, I'm, you know, like trying to hold on. No, you're dead. You are hopeless. That's what it means. You are hopeless. There is nothing you can do about it. You're hopeless, you're dead, it's done, right? So it's important to understand that, right? Because it's not, here Paul is not saying that, oh no, you had an opportunity to do something about it. No, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So it's really understand we were spiritually lifeless. That's what Paul is saying. You were spiritually lifeless. You can't do anything about that. So if we keep going in verse 2, it says, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, and among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And I'm going to stop there real quick because this part is so important. In verse 2 to midway to verse 3, we see something happening here. And I think it's really important to understand what the words are saying here. It says, in which you once walked. Right? So we were walking as dead people. Dead in sin, dead in life. That's who we were, right? We once walked in that. And then it goes on, and I want you to catch this, because when it goes on, it says, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, who is that? Satan. So we're dealing with this world, we're dealing with Satan, and then Paul goes on and says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of what? Our flesh. So you see here, Paul is letting us know that we have three things going on. We have the world that we have to deal with. We have Satan that's constantly going and trying to deceive us and send us off and not get close to God. And we have our own self, our own human nature with our own desires. Think about that. We are living that today. This is in our lives today. We work. Look at the world. I'm telling you, it's crazy. If you look at this world today, it's like, man, like sometimes you just got to unplug because it's so crazy right now. People are anxious. I talked to someone the other day ago, and they was telling me how anxious they are. And this is a Christian brother. He had called me yesterday, and he was like, man, with everything going on in the world, I'm just so anxious. I just don't know what God has for me because of all the worldly things that's around him right now. And then we got Satan that's constantly trying to whisper in our ear and trying to send us off. Remember, guys, we're in a spiritual battle. This is not us battling each other. There's this spiritual battle going on that's around us every single minute of every single day. And either we're walking in God to go and defeat that, or we're allowing Satan to pull us along or keep us in the background, keep us in the bunkers when everybody's fighting so we don't have to be out there in the front line like God wants us to do. And then we have our own selves. You know, many call this the unholy trinity. Think about it, the unholy trinity. What's our holy trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? What is this? The world, our own selfish desires and Satan. I just want you guys to get this. This is something that no matter what you try to do, this is an existence that we have to live in. And the question is are you allowing yourself to stay in the unholy, or are you moving towards the holy? So Paul is saying some deep stuff here. And the last part of this, it's a little small part, but right at the end of that verse of 3, it says, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So this is important because verse 3 starts off and it says, we all. So it's not like you exempt. Kill, you're not exempt. You know, Paul, you're not exempt. None of us exempt. We are all in the same place, starting in the same place, no matter how pretty you may look, no matter who you're parents were and how rich they were, it doesn't matter. We are all starting in the same place. But at the end of verse 3, what does it say? It says, we're by children of wrath like the rest of mankind. What is children of wrath? We were all under God's wrath. Because of the we're walking in this death that we can't get ourselves out of, we are all under his wrath. So let me kind of play this out a little bit more. Everybody, pull out your cell phones. I know everybody got a cell phone here. Don't sit here and tell me you don't have a cell phone. Everybody, pull out their cell phones. This is the first time in church that I'm saying, like, think about it. I'm saying, pull out your cell phones. Don't be looking at your text. But pull out your cell phones real quick. All right. Who got Apples? Raise your hand if you have Apple cell phones. All right. Look at our Apple people. I'm an Apple guy, too. All right. What about those Android folks? Oh, man, it look small. Hey, they kind of like this. Like, they don't even want to put their hands up, right? So you got some Androids. Let me ask you this. Y'all know that new iPhone 17 Pro just came out, like 2 days ago. Let me see who got that up in here. Whoa, look, we got somebody, man. He got the new. Oh, sorry. Oh, the Pro Max. All right, the iPhone 17 Pro Max, all right? Only one person have it. Anybody got anything better than an iPhone 13 and above? Okay, some of you guys do. All right, I'm rolling with an iPhone 12. I'm way behind. I'm five generations behind. Let me see. Anybody got a flip phone out there? Oh, no flip phones. Sometimes you catch somebody with a flip phone, you know? Well, you know, here's the interesting part about it. If you looked on your phone right now, and you saw 0% on it, and all of a sudden the screen just goes dead, and there's no plugs around, there's no nothing, what is that phone worth? What about the iPhone 17 Pro Max X Series, whatever else it comes with it, that's like $1,500 compared to somebody who's walking around with the iPhone 8? If both of them are dead, does it matter? It doesn't matter, right? So here's the thing about it, right? Paul is letting us know that no matter who you are or where you come from, when you're dead, you're dead. And that's what we were. You know, I think this is interesting because when I thought about this, I said, like, well, what does that mean for us today? We have to know that everyone starts at the same place. And no one is better off without Christ, right? But we have to know that as Christians. So if we know that, and you know that unless you have received Christ, that you are dead, how many family members you have walking around dead right now? How many friends do you have walking around dead right now? Colleagues, people we interact with every day. See, here's the thing. When we know that, and you're supposed to love these people, are you talking to them about Christ? Are you introducing Christ to those individuals? See, God made us to be disciples. Hope you guys know that. We are all not to come to church and sit back and feel good and hear an inspirational message. That's not what God made us to do. He made us to be disciples because guess what? He loves all of us. And we sit here and we say we love the people around us,
But are we talking to them about God? When conflicts arise and people are going at it in strife and you know they ain't living God, are you bringing God into the middle of that? Or are you allowing it to be? Or are you just egging it on? Or are you like, man, I'm going to support you because you're my, you know, you're my sister or my friend or whoever you may be. See, the thing is that you, each of you, have an opportunity to make sure you're introducing God to those that are walking dead right now. And when we don't, we are saying that their life is not worth as much. And we're okay with that. So I just want you to take that away from these first three verses. Understand, we all start here. No one's exempt. And this is the opportunity for you to make a difference for the people in your life. So now let's move on to the next piece here. Because to me, it goes from this kind of like somber mode, you know, like these first three verses aren't great. And then just the first two words is the game changer. And verse 4, the first two words, and those first two words are, but God, but God. I want y'all to let that resonate. Those first two words, man, things aren't good. Things don't look good for any of us, but God. Things don't look good in my life right now, but God. Someone's sick, not feeling good, or I may not be feeling good, or I'm going through some real problems, but God. See, you got to understand, the scripture don't lie. The words aren't there just to be there. There's a reason for those words to be there. Paul could just went on and just went on with chapter verse 4 and just kept going and didn't have to put but God there. But God, right? It couldn't exist it, but God. God is the only one that allowed us to be able to have this turning point. And it's really important to understand that. So as we move on, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. So this is important. I'm going to stop here. Verse 4 shows us God's character. This verse says that God is rich in mercy and great in love. That's God's character right there. If we keep moving, verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is amazing to me. Like, it's so easy to hear this and say, we're saved, right? You know what? Like, we went from, because of God, we went from being condemned, we've been from being dead, and now we're saved. But it's much more. It's much more. And I want you to really pay attention to what this verse is saying. And I'm going to read it again. It says, even when we were dead in our trespasses and made us alive together with Christ, but by grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, here's the thing. This is talking about God's actions here. So we talk about his character. Because his richness of mercy and love, his action was he made us alive with Christ. Not only did he do that, he raised us up and seated us with him in union with Christ. And I spent some time and I was walking. I do my 10,000 steps every day now. So every night I get a time to reflect and, you know, just do whatever, right? And I was reflecting on this part right here. As I was thinking this week, I was like, God, what are you telling me here? What are you telling me? And the best thing that God was able to put in my heart was imagine a scenario, and this happens in life, where someone who has nothing, their parents are gone, they're orphan, has nothing, nothing to live for. Life is horrible. No one wants them. And all of a sudden, some parents come, who, by the way, already have a child. They come along. They say, you know what? I love this person. I see, I have this mercy and grace for this child. I'm going to bring that child into my house and allow them to become a union with us. That child has nothing. Now, it would be great if that family brings that child in and say, okay, now you have a house over your head and we're going to give you a little food every day. That's it. That would be great because that child now goes from nothing to at least having something, right? But see, this is how God works. It doesn't just stop there. A child like that then comes in a home, they get that person's last name, and now they become their child, right? The things that beyond just the basics, they're able to now treat that child just like their other child. No different. They love that child the same way. They give that child the same opportunities. They protect that child. They take care of that child. That's how God is with us. Now, do they stop all of a sudden? Say, yeah, you know what? I brought him in. Now I'm done. I'm done. No, they don't. For the rest of their lives. You know, that's what you do as a parent. For the rest of your lives, you are there with your child, even when they become adults. You're still there for them. See, that's God. God didn't just save us. The point that you have to see is God raised us up. And he put us at the same level as Christ. Now, I don't want you getting your head twisted. I'm not telling you, you're Jesus, okay? I'm not saying that. But you got to understand, you in union now with Jesus. And that's important to understand because how we walk and how we talk and what we do each and every day determines if we believe that or not. You follow me? And so it's important to see that. Paul is saying here is that, remember, this is a reminder. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. And so then verse 7 goes on and says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. See, this last part shows God's purpose. You know, we talked about his character, rich in mercy, great in love. We talked about this, his actions, right? He made us alive in Christ. He saved us. Then he raised us up, seated us with Christ in union with him. He adopted us. And then from there, we see his purpose is to display his grace forever. You see, God loves us so much. He loves each and every one of you so much. He will pour his grace down more than you could possibly understand. So why can we walk around here like he doesn't? So it's something to reflect on. If we know that, this is what Scripture is telling us. Why do we walk around like God's grace doesn't exist anymore? He only did that when I got baptized. Now I'm on my own. That's not what God is doing here. God's grace is renewed every day. Do you accept that? And that helps me transition because, you know, I think about that phone, right? You know, if you plug in that dead phone, right? See, here's the difference. I could plug in that phone and I could try to find Surge, but it never stays. I continuously go back and be dead. There's nothing I could do. See, the difference here is that when Jesus became the source of that power, it becomes a permanent, eternal connection. You can't break that cord. No matter what you try to do, once that cord is there, you can't break the cord. So understand that now you're alive in Christ. No longer dead, but walking alive in Christ Jesus. And not only just walking alive, but seated with him in union. And that grace is just being displayed every single day. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. So, you know, I want to go back to Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Right, so this is that moment, that but God moment, right? When we accept God's gift. And now we are transformed. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our old is what? Passed away. So it's kind of crazy, right? It's like a double negative. The dead is dead, right? Walking in death is no longer walking in death. So now we're made alive. That's what God is telling us there. So ask yourself this. Have you had your but God moment?
This is a real question. It's not a, oh, let me just think about it. No, like, have you truly had your but God moment? Have you accepted him in your life? Have you become that new creation? Now, some of you may say, I'm not sure if I'm a new creation or not, because I remember becoming that new creation, but then I just start going down this other path again, and I just don't feel like it. I was at the club last night. I'm sitting here at church. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I don't feel like that I'm a new creation, right? Some of you may be saying, me and my wife had an argument today, and I talk nasty to her. There's no way I could be a new creation, right? Man, you know what? Me and my kid, we're having this issue, and I'm not showing love to them. There's no way I could be a new creation. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not true. Because once you're transformed, how do you go back? It doesn't make sense. I want you to use a little bit of objectivity here. You can't go back once you're transformed. So let me show you an example here. You see this picture up here? That first picture right there is showing you a caterpillar. Now, you guys seen caterpillars. Who haven't seen a caterpillar? Y'all seen caterpillars before? Always interested me with caterpillars, how they can get on that little strain of grass and they just crawl up, you know? And you see caterpillars everywhere, right? Well, caterpillars, what do? They could crawl. They crawl in the grass, crawl in the dirt, do all that kind of stuff, right? But eventually what happens, a caterpillar is transformed. And they're transformed into a butterfly. Well, here's the challenge. That butterfly then is a what? Is it a caterpillar? It's a butterfly. No matter what that butterfly does, it can start doing caterpillar things again. It might start crawling on the grass, start doing its little thing. You know, and doing some things like you would look at behavior-wise that, yeah, that's kind of caterpillar-like, but it's still a butterfly. My point here, and what I'm encouraging you to understand, guys, we all will sin, right? Because no one is made righteous, right? So we all will sin. But here's the thing, we're no longer sinners. Once we're transformed, we are no longer sinners. And when we walk around like we're sinners, what are we doing? We're going back to being dead. But we have an opportunity to no longer walk like that. You make mistakes, all of us will. And God knows our hearts. But we must stay in his will. We must stay in union with Jesus and walk and fly like that butterfly does. Right? We're butterflies. We're no longer caterpillars. Remember that. Next time you feel that guilt, that shame, and you're holding on to something because you feel like, you know what, I made mistakes here and there. If you have accepted that gift, no one can take that away from you. No one can take that away from you. So, you know, as I keep going here, I'm going to hit these other two. I know time is going away from us. I want to go and look at Ephesians 8. See, here, Paul makes it clear that how we receive our gift is not something we've earned, it's something or something we have achieved. He said, it says in 8, it says, for by grace. Again, for by grace. I'm going to stop there. What does grace mean? Anybody idea? What does grace mean? It's unearned favor. Simplest way to think about grace. It's just unearned favor. Something that you didn't pay for, something that you don't deserve. That's what grace is. So as we talk about grace, I want you to keep that in your mind. It's unearned favor, right? Unmerited favor. That's what grace is. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is what? It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. When you boasting around here like you doing stuff yourself, I'm telling you, man, you're missing it. You're going back to that dead. You're going back to that world. You're going back to what Satan is trying to deceive you or to say who you are. But when you boast in God, because guess what? He's the one that gave us that gift. Things start to come more alive. You see here, salvation is by grace, through faith, not works. It is a gift received, not earned. What happens when you get a gift? When was the last time? Think about the last time you got a gift. Right, I got a lot of gifts because we just had a baby. You know, you get those gifts, right? Now, imagine if I say, you know what? Well, I got this gift. All right, let me pay you for that gift.
That would be really weird, right? Like to pay someone to take the gift, right? That's not what we do. Imagine if someone said, you know what? You worked for me all week, so I'm gonna give you a gift. Well, I'm gonna be like, man, pay me. Don't give me a gift, right? So like, again, that's something that I earned. That's not a gift. A gift is when someone offers you something and you have two options. Those two options is I can accept it and receive it, or I can say, no, I don't want it, and walk away. See, here, God has given us a gift of salvation, a gift to be adopted into his family. Do you accept that gift? Have you received that gift? This is so important because I have a heartbreak for someone who has not received that gift. Because it goes back to, it reminds me going back to chapters 1 and 3. Have you received that gift? Is your life, does your life today, you know, show that God's gift of salvation is working through you? If not, I would just say stop striving and start, you know, start sharing and going and receiving the gift he has for you. If you have received this gift, something else also that's important, you've received the gift. Don't slip back into thinking God's love depends on performance. Right? Because we can receive the gift, and then all of a sudden we're like, well, now I got to start showing up a certain way because if not, I lose his love. You know, it's interesting. You see kids do that with their parents, and that relationship becomes funky, right? Because the kid is like, you know what? I got to do everything to show my dad that he can love me. That's not God. See, here, God doesn't care what you do. He'll always love you. His love will not change based on what you do. God is way more powerful than us. Do you think he's sitting there like, man, all right, man, you showed up this way, so I got to change my love for you? No. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. Don't forget that. So in this last verse, this is so important because I separated this verse out because I really want you to understand what you are called for and what you are made for. God just didn't save us from something. He saved us for something. I hope y'all just heard what I just said there. God didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. Each and every one of you have a purpose here. See, salvation, we always feel like it's the finish line, right? It's like, oh, I got saved. Are you saved? You good. You saved? You good. No, no, no. Salvation is the starting line. And see, when we understand that, we understand all the riches and glories that come beyond that. But if we stop at salvation, then we actually start walking back in our old. And so I didn't want to encourage you guys to understand that. So 10, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. So what does workmanship mean? We're God's masterpiece, right? When you're somebody's masterpiece, they look at you in awe. They're like, wow, this is amazing. Right? Like, that's what we are for God. We are his masterpiece. When he looks at you, he's like, wow. Wow. You know, I have this picture up here. Somebody's going to click it for me. There we go. All right, thank you. Y'all know what that is? David, right? Tens of thousands of people go and see David every year, right? This is Michelangelo's masterpiece. People just said, oh, like, how did he create that? It's amazing, right? Out of just material, and this is what he created. See, that's how we think of when God sees you, he sees his masterpiece. The question is, do you walk in that, or do you walk like you're just some dead being still out here? You're his masterpiece. I want everyone to understand that God has made you for something more. So if we keep going, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were saved for good works. He chose you. He chose each and every one of you for good works. Right? And the crazy part about it is, God even tells us he prepared this already. This is not like God had to come up with it and, oh, he just ran into it. This was all intentional. He has prepared you for good works. And do you accept that? Do you receive that? Are you walking in that? See, all our lives has a divine purpose. And God has prepared it for you, for me, for each of us. The thing is that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by his grace. And when I think about salvation, it's just the doorway for us to be able to display those good works and to produce the fruit that God has for each and every one of you and for this world. You see, it's interesting when we look at this. My big idea is very simple. It's actually the name of the title of the of our sermon here. You are made for more. You're made for more. And Paul has showed that we are now alive. We go from death to life, being condemned to seated with Christ Jesus. I just want y'all to get that. Think about what that means. Like, God has elevated us to a place that we don't deserve at all. But yeah, he has adopted all of us in his family and treat us like his child from birth. That's what God has done. And that's not just Paul's story, man. That's all our stories. That's all of our stories, each and every one of us. So when you hear all this and you know, we just walked through these verses, and like I said, I encourage you to go back and reread these verses and really reflect on them for yourself. But I ask you right now, we all have two choices. We could either walk in death, or we can walk in the purpose to create the good fruits that God has for each and every one of us. You know, I don't know if you guys noticed this little pattern, these bookends of this reading here. It's pretty amazing to me. We start with our first choice, right? The first choice, the choice that we can just default into, which is going back to Ephesians, starting at 1, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once what? Walked. We see we walked in death. And then on the other side of this, it says in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So we have two choices. We either walk in death or we walk in the purpose that God has for us. We walk in death and walk in shame, walk in guilt, or we can walk in the masterpiece, the good works, the fruit that God has given us. We can walk in the authority that God has given us. We can walk in the blessings that God has given us. What do you choose? You see, I want to encourage you through Paul's word, but Paul understands that it's your choice. Do you receive that, or do you walk away from it? And when you walk away from it, you're walking back to that death. I encourage each of you to move forward in what God has for you. You know, today is a special day. And I'm going to get ready to end here, but today is a special day. For me, I'm really excited. I have, my wife is here for the first time. She's probably back feeding our baby Sophia. So she's back here for the first time since Sophia's been born. You guys can see Sophia up there. Zuri today gets baptized, my second youngest now. She used to be my youngest. She's 16. She's getting baptized today. I'm so proud of her and what God is doing in her life. But what's interesting to me is, you know, I want to just say a little bit about Sophia and why this message came about. This message came about as I was in the hospital with Sophia, and we were in there for a few days. And that's when this message came about, and God put this on my heart. When I sent this out to several people, I sent it out with a picture, and I put this up here, this verse. It says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give her to God, the Lord. For her whole life, she will be given over to the Lord. That's 1 Samuel 1:27. Now, all I did was change him, so I'm not trying to change the Bible, all right? Went from him to her just because she's a girl. Now, here's the thing. This verse really resonated with me when she was born, because I realized God did something there. God showed me his unending grace. God showed me his unending grace. Something that I couldn't comprehend because I was still allowing the world and Satan and others to tell me something different. You see at the bottom, there's four dates down there, 4 years. Those 4 years are significant because it represents a journey. In 1996, I was about 16 years old at that time. My grandmother recently passed away, who was also my mother. She adopted me, and she recently passed away. I was in military school, and I stayed in military school, and during that time, they'll have parents' weekends and things like that. People's parents come and all that. And I remember, like, those moments for me was just not great. And I remember at the time, I just saw this vision of God showing me that I'm going to have a big family. I remember my grandmother, when she would have everyone come over, my grandmother had a large family. She had 10 biological kids, so and then she adopted a bunch more. So you can imagine that kind of atmosphere. But I always had that feeling of having Sunday dinners with this big family and all my kids there and so forth like that. And God supplanted that in my mind and my heart when I was young. And somehow, some way, I knew it was five kids. I was like, you know what? I'm going to have five kids. And like at that time, to me, five kids seemed like a lot. And I was like, man, I'm going to have five kids. And I just walked with that forever, knowing that I was going to have five kids. I didn't know it was going to be all girls. Don't get me wrong. God got me on that one. I guess he had to be funny on that one, right? Like, but when during that time, I had that cemented. And I was already saved at this time, guys, right? I got saved early, and I knew who God was. And I saw God working in me in different ways. And during that time from 1996 to about, I started going to high school and college. And I just started letting, that unholy trinity get my way, right? And I started living the life just like, many people do. And in 2001, it was a very tough year for me because my girlfriend got pregnant at that time. And I allowed her to have an abortion. It's a tough time. Like, you guys know I don't believe in abortion. I don't support it. But it was a tough time because I let the world get in my way. And like I said earlier, that's not my identity. But I did something that, in my feeling, I regret. Right? And, I lived with that for a long time. And from 2021 and through 2024, there was an evolution where, I don't know if some of you guys would probably hear, I don't know, like maybe 5 years or 6 years ago, I did a sermon here, and I talked about how God had lifted that from me, and he forgave me from that, and he lifted that baggage from me. I didn't have to, like, somber in my guilt any longer, right? And I remember because there were times before that sermon, actually, it's funny, because when I do sermons, God transformed me, and I that's the one thing I love about how God works. But from that sermon on, I never allowed that guilt to, like, get to me anymore. Prior to that, there'll be, a few times a year where I just go back and cry and just think about allowing that to happen and just feeling guilty and shame and all that stuff. So I let that go sometime 5 years or so ago, but I missed something. And that's what I'm really trying to show you guys. I missed something. In 2024, Patricia and I, we had a baby. She got pregnant. She got pregnant. And during that time, I was like, wow, like, we got another baby coming, and felt really good about it. Shortly after, we found out that she had a miscarriage. And that was really tough. Now, I want you to put yourself in my shoes at that moment. When I knew that Patricia had that miscarriage, all that came right back. And I was like, I don't know what I was thinking. God already gave me my fifth child. How can I think that God is going to give me another child? And I had to rebuke that. I had to rebuke that thinking. I had to walk away from that thinking and understand that God's will is God's will. and it's perfect and it's made in beauty. And I had to shift my thinking on that. And, you know, not only that, I had to be there for my wife who was going through something for her first time that was very, very tough, right? And God showed me at that moment that I don't have to worry about it. And I just stopped worrying about it and it was at peace. We didn't expect to get pregnant again or anything like that. And we actually did, right? And now in 2025, we got pregnant with Sophia. But let me tell you something. Many of you guys don't know this. The same thing happened. Same kind of scenario where Patricia and I was convinced that we had another miscarriage. And then they make you wait like a week to go to the hospital. So then, like, you're really, like, messed up for, like, that week trying to, you know, as a human, trying to, like, deal with that anxiety. And, again, when you see what happened before and you saw the input of that, right, the situation that happened, then you say, yeah, well, that looks like a miscarriage. And I remember during that time of waiting just saying, you know what, God, if this is your will, it's your will. I was at peace with it. I didn't go back to my issue that I was talking about before of like, oh, well, God is not going to give me another child. I just said, God, if it's your will, it's your will. And if it happens to be a miracle, then this is your child. You have a purpose for her that's bigger than I can have for her any day. I know you're not giving me a child just so I can feel good about myself. And I remember us going to the hospital, and we were sitting there, and the lady's doing an ultrasound, and, like, you're just anticipating to hear the same thing you heard before, and all of a sudden you heard a heartbeat. And even at that moment, you didn't know if it was a heartbeat. It was like, man, I don't know, like, maybe that's just the machine, you know, making some noise. And when she told us that it was a heartbeat, everything changed. At that moment, I recognized the grace of God. And you know what? Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what sins you may have had in your life. You know, God doesn't see sins one bigger than the other. That's not what God sees. God sees his masterpiece. His masterpiece standing right in front of him with a purpose. Do you realize that you're his masterpiece? I am blessed to have Sophia in my life. I'm blessed that, and I give her to God. I'm blessed to have the other girls that he's put in my life, the other four girls. I'm blessed to see Zuri get baptized today. And I just see God working through his grace. You remember he said his intent is to continue to display his grace. And that's what his intent is for each and every one of you. So as we close, we're going to close going back to the song Made for More. I ask you to hear the words. I try to be real clear about songs that I really believe God is speaking through. And for me, he spoke through that song. Listen to the words. Reflect for yourself on what God is asking you. Ask yourself, have you received the gift of salvation first? And there may be someone in here right now, and don't be ashamed. If you're someone in here right now that have not received his gift, Jonah's song is an opportunity for you to come to pastor. I don't know what pastor is. I don't know. There you go. He's back there. So I don't know if he wants you to. Are you going to be back there for the rest of the time? All right, so he's going to be right here. I would ask you guys, if you want to receive that gift, come up. And here's the thing. We have seven people we're baptizing today. If God gives us another two or three, that's okay. Right? Like, because guess what? This is an opportunity for you to see what God is doing for you and accept that gift. So if you've never accepted that gift of salvation, I encourage you to take that moment today and hear what God is asking you in your heart. Secondly, as you listen to the song today, if you are in Christ and you have received that gift, and for those who's getting baptized today as well, I ask you to live as his masterpiece. I encourage you to walk in the good works he's prepared for you. Understand what that is for you, and whatever is holding you back today, whatever is getting in your way, let's remove that and walk forward. Thank you, Lord Father. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for this church body. We thank you for our friends, our families, the people around us. We just ask you, Lord, Father, to help us, remind us of your grace. Remind us of the gift you've given us. Remind us that salvation is just the start and that you have many good works for each and every one of us. Remind us that when we look at ourselves in a mirror, when we look at ourselves and how we show up each and every day, that we're your masterpiece. Help us, Lord Father, to see what you've made us into and transformed us as a new creature as. And help us to walk in that. We love you, God, and we thank you in the name.